Shoreline, Washington, Thursday, December 18th, 2008. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, crisis in the auto industry. We'll be joined by Marty Padgett, editor of thecarconnection.com, to discuss the decision by Chrysler to cease production at all 30 of its plants across America for at least 30 days starting on Friday. Just how dire is the situation at Chrysler, and is General Motors far behind? We'll ask those and many other questions to Marty Padgett. Also in this edition of Dateline Washington, the passing of a conservative. Paul Weyrich was a major figure in bringing social conservatives out of the political shadows and into the voting booth in droves. He helped to co-found the Moral Majority as well as the Heritage Foundation, one of the leading think tanks here in Washington. We'll talk about his legacy on the political landscape with Craig Shirley, longtime member of the conservative movement and the president of Shirley and Bannister Public Relations here in Washington. Plus, end-of-the-year financial tips. What are the best ways to give yourself a low tax bill in 2009 and the biggest possible 401k? We'll ask Mackie McNeil of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. And from the latest Obama cabinet nominations to the scandal in Illinois to his own thoughts on the passing of Paul Weyrich, we'll have our weekly visit with John Gizzi of Human Events. All that, plus our look at Thursday's headlines, follows our conversation with Marty Padgett of thecarconnection.com, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Marty Padgett, executive editor at High Gear Media, which publishes the website thecarconnection.com. We want to get Marty's thoughts as Chrysler announces that it will suspend production for at least a month as a result of slumping sales, it says, is not a result of a lack of demand for the vehicles, but a lack of credit and loans being extended to people who want to buy the vehicles. So what's ahead for Chrysler, and what is the latest in terms of the company's perspectives inside the Big Three towards a potential bailout coming from Washington? And Marty, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
This announcement, of course, came on Wednesday. Was it much of a shock within the industry, either the fact that Chrysler was completely suspending production or the length of time that they're planning to do so?
I think it was a surprise that the press release worded it in a way that implied that they may not even open the doors back up in a month. I think we're living in extraordinary times, and for a car company to come out and say, we're not exactly sure when we're going to start producing cars again, I've never heard that before.
That's true. That was a date estimate as the earliest that they might resume production, which would be January 19th. How is this catching workers and other officials within Chrysler? Is this something that they knew would happen if they didn't have the money from Washington, or is this something that's making the holidays even more bleak for them?
It's all of those things. I'm sure they realized their cash was going to dwindle to a point where the end of the year would make them uncertain if they could stay in business. But the fact that it's coming at a time when the president is on the fence as to how to structure a bailout program, it could be coincidental that the situation at Chrysler looks particularly bleak at the moment when we have to decide how we're going to underwrite this bailout.
In terms of the explanation, are they essentially being honest in that they do have customers who just can't get the money to buy the vehicles, or do they have a serious demand problem too?
It's both again. They do have a problem in that, you know, people who don't have very good credit scores above 700, say, are having more difficulty getting financing for new cars. But the demand for Chrysler's cars was slackening all year long before this even became an issue. So really, they were hit with the lack of, with customers and sales dropping first, and then the credit crisis brought on, you know, another world of problems for them.
There's obviously different divisions here. There's Chrysler itself, there's Jeep, and then there's Dodge. Is there one division that's doing particularly worse than the others, or is it a problem across the board?
Well, the Chrysler brand has always been the problem for that company because it's never been able to pitch itself successfully as sort of an entry-level luxury brand against the Acuras and the Volvos of the world. Dodge has always had the Ram to lean on, its minivans, and now they have a Charger sedan, and those are the three products that are really doing the best for that brand. And Jeep has a great product identity. Sales may come and go. They wax and wane according to the market, but at least people know exactly what a Jeep is. It's Chrysler that has no focus, really.
And what have they said in their restructuring plan about that? Obviously, lawmakers, the president, and others want to see some evidence that they can sustain their operations if they get some federal assistance. Mm-hmm. What is their plan to make Chrysler and the entire the company more viable?
It's interesting. They have had a couple of backgrounders for the press, one of which was held yesterday, and a couple of the automotive blogs have talked about it because Chrysler withheld, didn't let them attend the event. But basically, they've been showing a series of electric vehicles and showing how they can transition into an electrified fleet and how they can transition to smaller cars. The problem is the most successful chance they have at a small car is going to be a rebadged car from Nissan. They were entering into a program with China's Chery Automotive, and they just recently announced that that wasn't going to happen. So the credibility they have to go to Washington and say, we have a turnaround plan based on smaller, more fuel-efficient cars, some people are calling it smoke and mirrors.
In terms of what lies ahead now, we heard from the White House, first of all, that this would be too much of a hit on the economy to not extend some aid to the automakers. Now we are hearing that potentially the president's more interested in an orderly rather than a disorderly bankruptcy. Explain the difference.
The idea behind the restructuring has always been that you want to relieve these companies of the burdens that would normally be relieved in a bankruptcy proceeding. So an orderly bankruptcy, if there is such a thing, would make government capital available to write debtor in possession or creditor in possession financing for these companies to void their labor contracts and void their production contracts and scale themselves down and have government money to sustain them through the transition. So basically, General Motors could do everything that it would do in a bankruptcy court, but already have government backing to make sure that it was able to keep its suppliers in business so that it could keep production running and keep paying its employees.
What would be the first thing they'd do with the emergency money if, in fact, it comes from Washington?
Pay the lawyers who are putting the bankruptcy package together. They're at the point where they have to have all hands on deck, and they're working in every direction. Don't forget they also have a Detroit Auto Show coming in about 3 weeks, and they have to make a very public display of how this year is going to roll out. And whether that includes a bankruptcy proceeding or not, we are not sure yet.
Marty, and we're talking with Marty Padgett, executive editor of High Gear Media, which publishes thecarconnection.com. We know that auto executives, we also know that members of Congress supportive of the position of the auto industry say Chapter 11 is not really a viable option for Chrysler or any of the big three because people just would stop buying cars from there, and there's really no successful emergence from that. Do they have a plan B if, in fact, that is the only option left to them?
I think that the plan B is some sort of a bankruptcy proceeding, whether it's called that or not, under government supervision, because I'm not so sure that a bankruptcy could happen and people wouldn't buy the products, because it used to be thought that bankruptcy was a more tarnishing process. Every major U.S. airline has been through one, and people still fly them. And it may not directly translate to automobiles, but I think with government backing, people might have some assurance that the companies will be around to service and sell their cars. A bankruptcy proceeding that does go ahead with government backing is a lot more acceptable to consumers, even if they're the ones backing it. If they're going to go out and buy a GM car or a Chrysler car, they want to know that they're going to be able to have that car repaired, first and foremost. So having government financing behind it really alleviates that concern. It's whether the companies want to have a bankruptcy in their corporate history.
Marty, what's the impact on the other two of the big three, Ford and General Motors, with this news that Chrysler is suspending production for at least a month and quite possibly even longer? They're interlinked in terms of suppliers and all sorts of other things. So even in the short term, what's the impact on the other two?
Well, the impact could be in the supplier chain if suppliers aren't needed for more parts. It could push a couple of the weaker ones towards insolvency. But really, the other automakers have followed the same lead. GM has cut production, I think, by 250,000 units. And Ford also said it would keep some of its factories closed an additional week in January. And this is on top of Honda cutting production and Toyota mothballing this Prius plant that was going to be opened early next year.
So we heard from both Chrysler and General Motors over the past few weeks that if they don't get emergency aid, they're both looking at very dire straits. Does that mean we could see a move similar to what we saw from Chrysler out of General Motors?
I think so. Their public relations effort around this has kind of been take no prisoners. We're not talking about bankruptcy. I'm curious to see if they start talking about it in the news lull between the holidays.
And if they do, is it more of a public relations case to the general public? Do they try to come back to Washington and show the increasing urgency of their need for this assistance? How do they play it?
No, I think it's at that point it's resignation. I think they'll be communicated to by the White House to say that this is how it will roll out. and they'll be allowed some time to gently spread the message during the holidays and to let it be known that that is going to be an acceptable way to go about this. And when the funding is released, there probably will be a major announcement, I would say, before the Detroit Auto Show as to how the money is going to roll out. And it really has to, because both of these companies are at the edge of their operating cash.
There's obviously a lot of skittishness here in Washington about a package in the many billions to assist these automakers, especially given the mixed reviews of the Wall Street bailout. Right now, President Bush, the Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson, say there's time to decide exactly how to put this together. The move by Chrysler suggests there might not be as much time as the White House thinks. How much of a timetable are we really working on here?
4 weeks. I think it's really that dangerous for Chrysler, but also for General Motors. And you know, the whole philosophy behind the bailouts has separated the money world from the manufacturing world. The problem is the money world hasn't responded quickly enough to resolve some of the issues in the real world. So this is a catch-up move because neither of these companies have been able to restructure in a way that's going to follow the pace that credit is going to release, that people are going to be able to go out and buy new cars again. There's just not that much time.
Last 60 seconds here with Marty Padgett, executive editor at High Gear Media, publisher of thecarconnection.com. We haven't really talked about Ford because they're in the best shape of the big three, but that doesn't mean they're in good shape whatsoever. What's their timetable looking like?
Their timetable is if there's not any serious degradation in the market beyond where we already are at possibly 11 million sales next year. If things stay the same, they have enough cash to the end of next year. And if there is a prepackaged bankruptcy or a restructuring, it's underwritten by the government for GM and Chrysler, 10 to 1, the same rules are going to apply to Ford. So they'll benefit from whatever renegotiation happens with unions and pension funds and healthcare funds.
Well, Marty, we're certainly going to keep a very close eye on both Detroit and Washington. Thanks for helping us do that.
Thanks.
Marty Padgett is executive editor of High Gear Media, which publishes thecarconnection.com. This is Dateline Washington.